you would settle our hearts, Lord, and we would receive from you this morning. And Lord, that we would get this. We would get what you're saying to us today. Lord, that it would land, and you would help me in communicating that. But Father, that our hearts would be open to you. Our eyes would be open to you. We would see you today, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Okay, so so my title is To See Jesus. You're all right, it's a bit funny launching in, isn't it, so early. Title is To See Jesus. So I'm going to set a bit of background. It's springtime. It's April. Passover. It's Passover time. And Jesus and his disciples are leaving Jericho on the last leg of their journey to Jerusalem. It's 17 miles away. I think Jericho's to the east, 17 miles away. Jesus has again talked to his disciples about how he's going to be betrayed, handed over to the authorities, how he's going to be mocked and despised and beaten and crucified, and that he will rise again. But he's again told them what's going to happen. So I wonder how they're feeling, 17 miles out of Jerusalem. I wonder how Jesus is feeling, I wonder how his disciples are feeling. He's 33. Tomorrow, he's going to enter the city, and people are going to hail him as king. 1 week's time, he's going to be dead. He's going to be crucified in a week. That's where we're at. And I'm going to pick up his journey in Mark 10, verse 46. Thanks. So I think I'm going to be reading out of a different version. Sorry, my mistake. So as Jesus and his disciples left town, a great crowd was following. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," some of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has healed you." And instantly the blind man could see. Then he followed Jesus down the road. I wonder if he followed him to Jerusalem. I wonder if a week later, the man that had healed him, he saw on a cross dying. Probably, I would say. Okay, so that's probably how I, to my shame, often spend my quiet times. I will read a story like that. So, but I want to unpack it today. And I hope that at least on occasions when you're having your quiet times, you unpack stuff a bit more. You dive in a bit more. So we're going to do something that you will have probably never seen me do before. We're going to act it out. And if you know me, you know that's a big thing. You know this is probably the only time you will ever see me act. Because I've got an aversion to acting. So I will only do this if you help me by joining in. Are you going to join in with me? Yeah, Will says. Okay, great. Okay, so we're all going to be Bartimaeus. Okay, I need my guys, fellow guys, to be ready. So, Martin, do you want to come up for the final scene? Come on. All right, so, as I say, it's rare, very rare. So we're all Bartimaeus, okay? So close your eyes, you're blind. I so got away with that, didn't I? You can open your eyes. When Jesus says, your faith has made you well, you've been healed. So close your eyes. All right. We're going to act it out. And you won't see a thing. Okay. You're blind, okay? So have a think about it. You're a beggar, you're blind, you're on the streets, you're in the dust, sitting down, begging. What's going on? Tell me, what's happening? Someone, please. What's all the noise for? What's all the noise? Tell me. Someone, tell me, please. What's happening?
Jesus is coming. It's Jesus. Jesus and his disciples, they're leaving town, coming this way, and there are hundreds of people following them.
Jesus. Jesus, the Son of David. Jesus, I need to see him. Help me, please, someone. Help me see Jesus. I need to see Jesus, please. I need to see him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus,
stop shouting. Stop shouting.
Jesus, have mercy on me.
We're all trying to see him. Get down. Stop shouting. It's not just about you.
Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Please, Jesus, have mercy on me. Come, Jesus, have mercy on me, please. Son of David, have mercy on me.
Go and tell that man to come here.
Cheer up, mate. Come on, Jesus is calling you.
Jesus, Son of David, Jesus.
What do you want me to do for you?
Rabbi, Lord, I want to see. Jesus, I want to see. I want to see Jesus.
Go your way, my son. Your faith has healed you.
It's powerful, isn't it? So what's it about? Is it about a blind man being healed? Is it about salvation? Is it about how to respond to God? Is it about spiritual blindness? We're all blind Bartimaeuses. Do you want to see Jesus? I wonder how long he'd been blind for. Probably all his life, I don't know. I would imagine he'd been begging there for a long time. This is the main road from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's a good place to beg, because a lot of people would be traveling that way. So he's probably there. He probably knows the environment. He probably knows that road very well, although he's blind. But he shouted, didn't he? I wonder how many of us would respond by shouting, or how many of us would have not shouted. How many reasons have you got for not shouting? How many reasons have I got for not shouting? What will people say? There's controversy over this man anyway. So I wonder what the priests think. Will people judge me? Will I look silly? It's not a bad life, really. I've got past this long. Do I really need to see? Don't do too bad begging. It's a bit scary to change, actually. If God is really, or if Jesus is really who people say is, he'll know my needs and he'll come to me. He'll heal me where I am. He'll come to me. And if God really loves me, he'll understand how hard it is for me to go to Jesus. So he'll heal me where I am. wonder if Jesus would have passed Bartimaeus by if he hadn't shouted. The deeper question is would he have passed him by because he didn't know about him, or did he know about him and wanted to heal him, but would have passed by if he hadn't shouted? So did Jesus stop in response to desire and faith? I'm convinced that Jesus wanted to stop to heal Bartimaeus. I'm just thinking aloud. I think this is his last miracle, probably, before he's, like that kind of healing miracle, before his crucifixion. Last time that he could, in a physical state in that sense, heal someone of blindness. Before the trial and the beatings and the crucifixion. It would have been on his heart to heal Bartimaeus. He knew Bartimaeus since before time began. Wow, okay. So how about us? How often do our thoughts and reasoning stop us calling out to God? Does God pass us by as we remain silent when it was his intention to bless us, heal us, deliver us, restore us, love us, show us amazing things, share his love with us? Does our silence make him pass us by? So we're going to break down this story a bit, and I hope you can see it on the screen, because my notes, it's not working on my notes very well. But there's some things that I think is just incredible. This guy, he's blind. How much would he have heard? How much would he know? He calls Jesus, he says, Son of David. Now in Mark, that's an interesting phrase in Mark. I think it only appears twice. Once, I think it was Peter. I'd need to double check it, but I think it was Peter. Son of David means that Bartimaeus recognized he was the Messiah. That is quite something. Most people did not know that Jesus was the Messiah at this stage. And Bartimaeus, the blind guy, the beggar, recognizes he is the Messiah. He recognizes something in his phraseology saying, he is my savior. He has come to save. Staggering, isn't it? Have mercy on me. Oh my goodness. What a thing to say. Isn't that what we need to say? Isn't it that we need to cry out, Son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me. Savior, have mercy on me. You are the only one that can save me. Have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Don't you want to cry out? Don't you identify with Bartimaeus? Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Save me. Save me. Deliver me. Free me. Show me what this life's about. Give me hope. Savior. Son of David, have mercy on me. He got a lot of attack, didn't he? Did people mock him for it? Well, not as much, but they told him fiercely to shut up. He said, shut up. They opposed him. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. Are we going to be put off by what people think about us seeing Jesus? When I talk about seeing Jesus, you know I'm not necessarily literally meaning it. I'm saying see Jesus. Have our minds open to Jesus. Have our hearts and lives abandoned to Jesus. Are we ready to see Jesus? Are we going to let people get in the way? Are we going to say, oh my goodness, I can't do that, because what will people think of me? I can't raise my hands. I can't pray out loud. I can't do any of this stuff. What will people think? Does pride get in our way? Does fear get in our way? That's a killer, isn't it? Satan is the father of all lies, and he is the one that promotes fear. He wants you not to see Jesus. If you see Jesus, he is in big trouble. If you really see Jesus, oh man, he's got a headache. He will do everything to stop you seeing Jesus. And normally it's through stuff like fear, pride, self-consciousness, a sense of, you know, that you're not worthy, you're a failure, you haven't got anything to offer. All those lies, you can just hear it, can't you? Father of lies pouring it over us. Are we going to let people stop us? I think, and I'm not saying this, it's tricky to say this with proof sitting here. I think spouses can really stop us from hearing God. Because you could be sat next to your spouse and you could be thinking, if I wasn't, I would be freer than I am. Then why aren't you freer? Be freer. Be freer. Are you going to shout or are you going to sit there and think, oh? Or your friend's youth group, you're going to think, oh, if only they weren't here. If I was in C3 today, I would be more comfortable. I would be able to worship God. Or preferably, Hillsong London, because then there's thousands and it's really noisy and I'm well away from Islam, so I won't bump into people I know. Come on, this is the life you have got. You have been placed in this church for this season now. Now it is about seeing Jesus today. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How awful is pride, fear, self that can rob us from meeting the true God? It can rob us from meeting him. We need to cry out like Bartimaeus, Son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me. I want to see you. So we're not going to be put off. Do you know when Jesus hears him, he stands still. It says he stops. So he's moving into Jerusalem. Do you remember he said he has fixed his gaze on Jerusalem? He is going there. He is purpose-driven to the cross. With all the pain and the confusion and the anxiety, he is driven to that cross. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get focused on anything, my kind of, it's like, people can talk to me and I'm like oblivious. I'm going this way. He hears a man and he stops. And he says, tell that man to come to me. Jesus wants to stop for you. I guarantee he wants to stop for you. There is no question about it. The Holy Spirit wants to visit your house. I promise you it. Promise you it. It's written all over scriptures. It's guaranteed. He wants to stop. So, the response, Bartimaeus, he's blind. He throws aside his cloak. He is in hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know, of people, a crowd. He is blind. He hasn't got, I would imagine, any possessions. He has got a coat, a cloak. I would imagine that he sits there maybe with it on his lap to protect his legs from the sun. And people would throw in coins into the cloak on his lap. You know, maybe if it's wide enough, no one will kick him as they walk past. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of protection. I don't know. It's his cloak. If you're blind and you've got a cloak, you would not let that out, forgive the pun, out of your sight, would you? Because if you lose it, what do you do? What do you do? He throws it aside. Have you ever been in a concert or something and you're like, you want to get rid of an item of clothing? It's like, we've got to go somewhere. How, you know, you fold it up and you like hide it under a stone or something. Or, you know, you're kind of thinking, I must remember where it is. No. Chucks it aside. He jumps up and he goes to Jesus. Now, I imagine it's a quick response. It's like instant response. I imagine he jumped up, chucked his cloak and ran. He's blind. He won't be able to find it again. You know, I went to Coldplay with Natasha and needed the Lewis, I needed drinks. You go there, you got your drinks, and you're trying to get back to Natasha. And you're walking through the crowd, and like, it's useful that I'm fairly tall, and I've already done a 360 and tried to work out like on like the towers and exactly where we are. And you're walking, and you're bumping into people. It's like, excuse me, sorry, mate, sorry. You know, like half your drink's been spilt over everyone, and you kind of, you know, it's a 5 minutes later, you reach her, and it's like, made it, and there's no drink left. But you know, that's with 2020. He's blind, and he's getting to Jesus. Why didn't Jesus come to him? Why did he say, come to me? Is that just mean? you know, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get crushed. I don't know where I'm going. You know, I'm lost because of all these people. I don't know. I'm fearful. People are going to jostle me and bump into me. There's all this noise. How can I find Jesus? Just his voice. Where was his voice? Where is his voice? And maybe people grabbing you, saying, this way, mate. You know, and it's undignified, isn't it? It's. And he goes to Jesus. Are we willing to throw away everything that hinders us? Everything that gets in the way? Are we willing to discard it? What cost are you willing to pay to see Jesus? Are you going to say, I don't care about anything? My focus is I've got to see Jesus. I've got to meet the Son of God. If it costs me my life, so be it. If it costs me my dignity, so be it. If it costs me all my worldly possessions, so be it. There is none like Jesus. He is the pearl of great price to me. He is what it's all about. And he's walking past my door. He's walking past down the road. This is my opportunity to see Jesus. I need healing. No doctor can heal me. Jesus can heal me. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's a Savior. He can heal me. No one else can. I've been sat here for years and years. No one else can heal me. I know. Only Jesus. I would do anything to get to Jesus. Anything. Are we there? Let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Don't worry what you're going to eat, or what you should drink, or what you should wear. He jumped up. Jesus could have come to him. How many of us want it to be on our terms? How many of us want to meet Jesus in the comfort of our private room in our house when no one's there, no one else is around, and then maybe we can dare to lift our voice occasionally a bit more than we would in church? Or, I don't know. It's his terms, guys. It's on his terms. It's always going to be on his terms. You know, he owes us nothing. He is the Messiah walking past. Whatever you do, don't start trying to make bargains with God. If he comes to me, let's run to him. What a privilege, what an honor, what an opportunity. Let's run to Jesus. You know, I went to a conference, some of you went to, Randy Clark. One thing, I mean, it was an amazing time for me, but one thing he said, just an incidental, which I thought was really fascinating. He was talking about the prophetic, and when stuff is said, and you know, maybe a word of knowledge is said, and if it's about you, this is in my words, but he basically said, stand up quickly, respond quickly. And that was it. It was like, he was off. And I just thought, this guy, for those that don't know him, he's been used for many years in very powerful ways in the words of knowledge healing ministry particularly, but incredible experience of the moving and the power of the Holy Spirit and of God. And when someone like that stands up and says, when words of knowledge are given, when prophecy is given and it applies to you, stand up quickly, that's coming from experience. He is obviously, he didn't unpack this is just where I'm going. I think that he has witnessed that when people are slow to respond, something gets dulled down or they miss something. When they're quick to respond, God moves. I thought that's a real powerful lesson. I need to learn from that. I don't need to let my brain engage too much before I get on my feet. I need to respond in faith, you know, even if it was wrong. Not wrong, as in, even if it was for someone else as well. Doesn't matter. I need to get on my feet. If I think in my spirit that word was from me, on my feet, straight away, and then I can argue with myself later on. I probably won't need to, because I'll have known the power and the presence of God then on me, and I'll be like, oh, my life, you know, thank you, Lord. I won't be arguing with myself then. I'll be just grateful. Get on your feet quickly. So he says, and I'm twisting this a bit, because obviously he wanted to receive his sight. So Jesus asks him, "What do you want?" He says, "Rabbi, Lord, I want to see. I want to see." But I was just thinking of that phrase and I thought, you know, what do you want? I want, Jesus, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. There's a kind of V, isn't it? It's like, it's, what do you want? Do you want a miracle? Do you want to see? Do you want to see physically? Do you want to see spiritually? How many of you as parents feel sometimes like you're a taxi driver, you're a hotel keeper? Yeah? You know, Dad, can I? Mum, please, can I? Would you? Yeah? It's like, and of course you will, because, you know, you love. But do they want you, or do they want the car, but they're not old enough to have the car? Or are we like that? Do you want to see healings? You know, do you want to operate in the gifts? Do you want words of knowledge? Do you want prophecy? Do you want to see miracles? Yes. Yes, I do. Yes. Do I want the church to grow and flourish? Absolutely. Please, Lord. I do. Do you want my relatives and friends to be saved? Yes. Yeah. Do I want to preach good sermons? Yeah. Do I want an end to conflict? Yes. Wars? Yes. Greed, suffering, injustice? Absolutely. But they're secondary. And that sounds so wrong. But they're secondary. I want to see Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all in Jesus. It's all through Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. He is it. I want to see Jesus. I want to turn to Jesus. I choose to live for Jesus. I choose to worship Jesus. I choose to put Jesus first in all things. I set my gaze on Jesus. And the cost is nothing when I consider the prize of knowing him and making him known. My provision comes through him. All this other stuff comes through him. He is the source. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the healer. He is my restorer. He is saviour of the world. Only he has the words of eternal life. Only he is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Only he is our victor. Only he holds the name above all other names. Only he has the highest authority. It's all about him. It's all for him. It's all through him. Do you understand? If we see Jesus, we'll see healings. If we see Jesus, he will enlarge our hearts to love the most unlovely. If we see Jesus, we will be gifted and anointed for this life. If we see Jesus, we will be able to share deep, deep, deep hope to the lost. If we see Jesus, he will wreck us. So guys, I don't know how you're feeling. I didn't want this to be serious, and it feels very serious right now. I'm sorry. Do you hear his coming? Do you hear him coming? Do you hear the rumours of the Holy Spirit moving? Can you sense something happening? Do you recognize he's the Messiah? Do you recognize he is the Savior, like Bartimaeus did? Do you know your need of him? He is the only way. So how open are you going to be? How abandoned are you going to choose to be? Will you allow others to put you off? Or your own fear, stubbornness, pride, tradition, rights to get in the way? Are you willing to lay your stuff down, cast it aside, risk it all? How quickly are you going to respond when he walks past? If you're not willing to respond, it is quite simple. And I don't care where you've been in your life. I don't care if you've not responded 1,000 times before. I'm saying, in this day, are you going to respond or not? If you don't respond, it is simple. And it is not a lack of love. It is not a lack of compassion on God's part. In any sense, it breaks his heart. He's going to Jerusalem 17 miles to be brutally beaten, brutally whipped, to the state that you wouldn't be able to recognize him, and then crucified, hung on a cross, nailed to a cross for you. His compassion for you is insane. His love for you is insane. You will never be able to understand the depth of it. It's not about a lack of love or a lack of compassion if he doesn't visit your door. He wants to visit your door. He loves you so much. He loves this church so much. He loves mankind so much. He gave his only son for us. Whoever believes in him, whoever responds to him, whoever hungers after him, whoever stands up and shouts figuratively will not perish. They will not perish. But if you don't respond as Christians, I'm not saying you lose your salvation. If you don't respond, you will be blind. You will be sat in the dust at the side of a road, a blind beggar, and go to heaven one day and then think, what on earth was I thinking? What on earth was I thinking? Now, I don't believe there's suffering in heaven, so I can't work this out. It's one of those, are we gonna have regrets or are we not? Yep. Don't know, I haven't got a clue. But there's something in me that says when I turn up at those gates, man, I'm going to be ashamed of some things. Man, I'm going to think, why did I waste my life on that rubbish? Why didn't I see Jesus? Why didn't I shout when he walked right past me? Don't regret it, guys. Life in abundance, in its fullness, is ours for the taking. Gifted from the God who created you, who sustains you, who knows you, who identifies with you, who wants to bless you for the taking. If you respond, Jesus will stop for you. What amazing news is that? How incredible is that? John Wick had a picture, and I'm going to close with this really, but John Wick had a picture last week in Springboard. And forgive me, John. Oh, he's not here, so he doesn't have to. If I get it slightly wrong. But it was of a wind. I guess it was like a whirlwind. He didn't use those words, but it was like a wind that he could see. And it was coming across, and there was a wall, and there was people crouched the other side of the wall. And this wind came up to the wall and went over the wall, missed the people, and carried on. And the point was, the wind of the Holy Spirit wants to stop for those people. No question. If you hide behind a wall, he is a gentleman. He will bypass you. He will agree with what your wishes. He will leave you alone. It's this story, isn't it? It's exactly this story what John saw. Take the wall down, guys. Move away from the wall, whatever it might be. And I know that's really hard. And God's heart wants to meet with your heart. So if you're struggling in that, if you're struggling with that, don't, it's, you know, this shouting thing, it's not. I'm not saying literally, don't worry if you're not into shouting. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is respond. Turn your face to Jesus. Look full in his gaze. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim as you're captivated in his love. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Start walking away from the wall. I believe God has given us notice almost of his intention to pass by. Let's not miss it. He's a gracious God to give us the notice. He's a gracious God Let's not miss it. I thought of when I was at school as a teenager, or no, younger probably, middle school. And I remember the playground, and I remember those windy days, like really, really windy days. And the teachers must have, yeah, rowing at your face. The teachers must have dreaded it, because it just sends everyone. It's crazy, doesn't it? Because you go running out with your coat, and you see how far you can lean before you fall over, and your hair's everywhere, and you're like mad, and you're running around. It's incredible. And then I remember, a bit older, you know, in a thunderstorm, and forgive me, this is not older. You know, you kind of take your shirt off, it's at night, and you're running in the rain, and it's like there's thunder and lightning, and you're soaked, and it's like amazing, it's just amazing. And then when we're older, we're like, oh, let's get in, quick, quick, quick. You know, is the dog all right? Is the dog going to, you know, the thunder? Oh my goodness, what happens to us? What happens to us? When you're young, you know, you're like, I don't know, you're in church, you're captivated with God, you're just like, oh, Lord, I think I'm in heaven. You're on the floor, maybe. Not for everyone I'm saying, but, you know, there's times when you encounter God and you get old. What happens to us? Jesus is walking down the road, guys. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is wanting to do things in this church, in your lives. You know, that scripture, I had it in the notes and I deleted it, so I'll misquote it badly. But, you know, when I was young, childish, I had childish thoughts and stuff, and now I'm mature. Don't be mature. That was not the scripture to go with this preach. Don't be mature. Be childlike. Figuratively, take your shirts off. Go run into the wind. Go running in the rain of His Spirit. Get drenched in the rain of His Spirit. Push away fear. Push away anything that would hinder. For His glory. So that He might work by the power of His Holy Spirit. So that we might see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Can you say that with me? I want to see Jesus. God bless you, church. May it be so. May it be so.